Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, it is Friday, October 23rd, 2020. And hey, this has to feel good, right? We are now less than 24 hours away from the start of Michigan State football. Pretty remarkable, right? Many of us, like myself, did not think that we would get here in 2020, but we are here. Despite how I feel about what COVID-19 is doing to our society and how I don't believe that this is the right decision, that aside, you guys don't want to hear that, right? You guys want to hear about Michigan State being back and the joy that that is going to bring many households in this area, without a doubt. I get it. Football is back, folks, and Michigan State will open up the year against Rutgers tomorrow at Spartan Stadium at noon on the Big Ten Network. And Lisa Byington, Matt Millen on the call. Lisa Byington, my former mentor, when she was back at Channel 6 News. Under Fred Heumann, former sports director there. And this is going to be a very, very different game for a lot of different reasons. You know, not just because there will be no fans in the stands, and there's actually going to be cardboard cutouts in the stands trying to bring some kind of fan experience for the players down there on the field. There will be no cheerleaders. There will be no Zeke the Wonder Dog. There will be no band. There will be no Sparty. It will be just players, coaches, and other athletic personnel. So, not just for that reason, right? A relatively empty stadium at Spartan Stadium tomorrow afternoon. But this game will also be different because it marks the start of a new era, the start of a new chapter, the dawn of a new day for the Michigan State football team as Mel Tucker will coach his very first game as the head coach of your Michigan State football team, which is very exciting because, you know, these last few years here on Current Sports, we would constantly around this time of the year talk about how Mark D'Antonio has lost his juju, if you will. he doesn't have it anymore. Gone were the glory days of Rose Bowl appearances, of Cotton Bowl appearances, of appearances in the college football playoff, for that matter. And Michigan State was just a 6, maybe 7 win program. And when you taste the success that Mark D'Antonio had in East Lansing for that amount of time, 6 or 7 wins, that just doesn't cut it. And not to mention the fact that, you know, Michigan State went through its worst chapter in school history and is really still healing from that. You know, the Larry Nassar scandal, and then you couple that with, you know, the ESPN reports that went at Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo, but that really wore on Coach D. You could see it. And it just felt like the fun of being the head coach of Michigan State football, just that fun got sucked out of his eyes, out of his heart, to be honest with you. So now we have a new era. Mel Tucker, coming from Colorado, he's actually a former grad assistant back in the late 90s under Nick Saban. Former grad assistant, now becoming the head coach of the program. You know, he had, you know, brief stints, also including the NFL, where he was an interim head coach for a cup of coffee. You know, he was, you know, his first college football head coaching stint was at Colorado, a 5-win year in one season there. So we don't have much to really judge Mel on as far as being a college football head coach, other than that stint out in Colorado where he just spent, again, 1 year. So not much to really go off of when it comes to what we should expect from Mel Tucker this upcoming season. So I got a lot to get to. I am going to preview Michigan State and Rutgers. We'll dive into that. And I'm going to take a broad look, just like I promised on yesterday's current sports. I'm going to take a broad look at the Big Ten Conference as a whole. And, you know, I'll give you my thoughts and predictions. You know, who is the Big Ten favorite? I think we all know that. You know, not just this team doesn't just come from the East, but they are the Big Ten championship favorite, and they have been for a while now. Cough, cough, Penn State. who could challenge? Cough, cough, Ohio State. Why did I say it? I'm staring at my notes here, and Penn State was there. But Ohio State, of course, is always that team, formerly coached by Urban Meyer, now coached by Ryan Day. But who could challenge Ohio State? Who could knock that team off of the horse? You'll get my thoughts on that. Which team is the leader in the West? And is there a wild card? Is there a team out there that could turn some heads and surprise a lot of people? Is it Michigan State? Because the expectations, let's be real here, the expectations aren't that great for Michigan State under first-year head coach Mel Tucker, right? I mean, you are losing a lot of talent from last year's team. You don't know, at least right now, we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be, the most important position on the football field. And oh, by the way, it's the year of COVID. Heck, we don't even know who is going to be healthy by the time Michigan State and Rutgers kicks things off at 12:01 p.m. It's the year of COVID, folks. And again, you know, these rapid daily testing protocols are in place, and the numbers are going up in our nation right now. And there are going to be times where, you know, you think that, okay, a certain player or players are going to start, but hey, they test positive and they're not going to start. That's just a reality. I mean, when you're playing the game of football, close contact sport, we're seeing it happen at other colleges. We're seeing it derail what's happening in the National Football League right now. You think that's not going to hit Michigan State football this season? Come on, let's just be real. So you're dealing with that as well. It's a different year for a lot of different reasons, folks. A lot of different reasons. But before I dive into Michigan State Rutgers and we look at the Big Ten as a whole, and I want to switch up the show a little bit. Normally, this is the point of the hour when I will say, hey, it's time for your quick hit headliners. That's the normal format of the show, where I give you guys an update on what's happening around the local sporting scene and beyond. But, you know, right now, what I want to do, I want to shake things up a bit, and I want to deviate from that regularity, because the Spartan sports community, got some troubling news yesterday that I have mixed emotions about. And we got this news yesterday afternoon in a press release, and I put together a spot for yesterday's All Things Considered, hosted by the great Sophia Salaby here at WKAR. And by the way, she's doing an awesome, awesome job. I got this news yesterday afternoon, and I think it's a pretty obvious reason why I have mixed emotions about the storyline, the reality that MSU Athletics decided that it will no longer sponsor men's and women's swimming and diving. That's it. After this season, Michigan State will no longer sponsor swimming and diving. Cutting it. And the reasoning behind it was, of course, the pandemic. You know, this was a press release that was sent out by Bill Beekman, Michigan State Athletic Director, and Michigan State President Samuel Stanley Jr. And, you know, the reason they gave for cutting men's and women's swimming and diving was because the financial impact is great and we're losing a lot of money due to COVID. We're projecting a revenue shortfall of $30 million. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario would actually be double that. So we got to make this decision. And we've combed through every possible scenario. Also want to note this. MSU says that all scholarship commitments will be honored beyond this year for swimming and diving student athletes, those who decide to finish their undergrad degree at MSU and stay. For those wishing to transfer, MSU will help with that transition. The contracts for all coaches will be honored through June 30th of next year. And also they're going to provide counseling and mental health services, for any student athlete who needs that kind of assistance during this time. And this decision to stop swimming and diving programs in MSU, along with other budget measures, this has been done with the intention that other reductions would not be necessary. But Bill Beekman did say that, never say never. So he still opened up the door for the possibility that maybe it's slim there, but there's a chance, never say never, there's a chance that we may need to make other cuts here. And you look, the reason why I have a problem with this, and you know, I'm swapping out the headliners because I really want to roll in the Bill Beekman press conference to give you guys more context and so you guys can hear, you know, his vocal demeanor behind this decision, because, you know, he began the press conference saying that, you know, it was a hard meeting. You know, I informed the student athletes today and there were many tears shed in that room. Or I don't know if he did it via Zoom. I don't know if it was in person. I don't think he mentioned that. I can't remember. But he said there were many tears shed. It was very emotional. It was the most emotional part of his very young tenure as MSU AD so far. And I just couldn't help but think, man, I'm like, dude, this is Michigan State University. MSU, yes, certainly, just like many universities, due to COVID, MSU is certainly losing a lot of money right now. This is not a typical year. But still, I mean, with football getting ready to take place this weekend, you're going to bring in TV revenue dollars. and you still got a lot of money in the bank. This is a Big Ten university we're talking about. So when you look at it, Michigan State, they don't want to, you know, take money from the big dogs being, you know, the big three, none bigger than MSU football and MSU men's basketball, and also, you know, throw in MSU women's basketball. They don't want to nip at their budgets and change those numbers. But if they did, we all know they could save Michigan State men's and women's swimming and diving. Because just look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers. This is coming from the Detroit News. Matt Charbonneau and Tony Paul put together this piece, kind of breaking down, you know, what it cost to finance men's and women's swimming and diving at Michigan State. And looking at the 2018-2019 fiscal year, men's swimming and diving had a budget of $757,000. Women's had a budget of $977,000. Excuse me. Each team pays less than $200,000 for salaries. Matt Giannodotis, I'm probably messing up that name, madam. I apologize. But you know, he coaches both teams. He has for 16 seasons now. He declined to speak with reporters yesterday, and swimmers weren't made available for comment. I haven't scoured Twitter just yet to see if they have put out anything on their respective Twitter accounts. But I know there's got to be some anger there. Because we all know, when you look at those numbers, $757,000, $977,000, again, that was the budget for 2018-2019 for men swimming and diving and women swimming and diving. Each team paying less than $200,000 for salaries. Come on, bruh. You made this move because you didn't want to grab from the pocket of your big programs. And men's and women's swimming and diving, the message you're sending, and it's just the reality of it, your sport is not as important as football and basketball. Simple as that. We got the message. And we know from a business standpoint that is true. Is it right? No, not at all. Because now you have young men and women who have come to Michigan State on scholarship to play these sports. They love the campus. They love the coaching staff. They're building these lifelong friendships. And then you get this news, and now it rocks your world, and you got to figure out in the year of COVID, okay, what do I do now? Now, again, Michigan State will, you know, I guess looking at the glasses half full, they will honor scholarships, academic scholarships of these young men and women if they want to continue their education and finish up at MSU. But, you know, these men and women, they love the sport. And some of them are going to look into the option of transferring. But you could have saved, my point is, you could have saved men's and women's swimming and diving. But again, it's a business. And these kinds of sports, especially now, got to be a little nervous. If you aren't one of the big dogs in college sports right now, you got to be a little bit nervous. If you are an athlete for a swimming and diving program, for a volleyball program, a lacrosse program, so on and so forth, because your program may get cut. You are looked at as expendable right now. So before we hit this first break, here is what Michigan State Athletic Director Bill Beekman had to say concerning the decision to no longer sponsor, after this season, no longer sponsor Michigan State men's and women's swimming and diving.
You know, after great consideration of, you know, lengthy consideration of a number of factors, you know, we made the decision to end our swimming and diving varsity program at the end of this academic year. So essentially having one more year of competition. You know, many tears were shed, very, very challenging, difficult conversation to have with the young men and women who've dedicated, frankly, the majority of their lives to their sport. And, you've all at some point heard me talk about our focus on success on the field of play, in the classroom, and in life. And, you know, although our programs have struggled in the pool, as it were, they have succeeded in every respect in their studies in the classroom and in preparation for doing great things in their futures. And so an extraordinarily difficult decision, you know, a very sad day for me personally, obviously for all of them and their coaches and for Spartan Athletics. But I think at the end of the day, the right decision for Spartan Athletics. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
For our first question, we'll go to Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Hi, Bill. I feel like, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, back when mid-September, I believe it was, when the Big Ten announced they would be playing a football season, suggested that, along with a lot of the other cost-cutting you guys were going through, would give you guys a chance to potentially break even. Did I understand that correctly, and what is, were you thinking of this as part of one of those cost-cutting measures, or have things kind of changed as you've gone through the last few weeks in making this call?
Well, Matt, you're absolutely correct in your recollection. I think that when we think about our budget this year, assuming that we play all nine games, and assuming that every other Big Ten team plays all nine games, because the TV revenue is an all-in proposition, you know, we get 1/14 of the pool, then, you know, that will help significantly. We will still be down somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 million, assuming that we don't have fans in the stands with the ticket, the premium seating, the seat premiums, and so on. Yes. So with all of the cuts that we've put in place, from temporary salary reductions to furloughs and the massive cost cutting we've done on the non-personnel side of the equation, it is my hope that should the TV revenue be fulsome, that we'll be able to break even or get very close. And as to swimming and diving, frankly, that, you know, there were a number of factors that went into it. Certainly, cost and budgetary savings is a factor. Their budget is about $2,070,000 ballpark. Although none of that really would be realized this year, because we plan on competing this year, and frankly, we will honor the scholarships of everybody that has received one, and continue to provide those students with academic and medical support. So there will be continuing expenses that will sort of create a tail for a number of years. Certainly it does help us in the out years financially. I think that that was one component of a decision. It certainly wasn't the only factor.
Just a quick follow-up, is this, I know you hope this is all there is, but can you rule out any other potential cuts? Seems like you can't rule it out, but are you hoping to avoid any other cuts of programs?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that that we have no plans to make any other program cuts that I can see going forward.
Thanks,
you
Bill.
Yeah, you know, we are in a bit of a never say never world. If the pandemic runs for another 2 years at the pace it's currently running, I don't think any of us expect that, but you know, one could imagine every kind of crazy scenario imaginable. But in all of our current modeling, we are where we are.
Our next question will go to Kyle Austin at MLive.
Hi, Bill. Wondering if you could kind of explain the facility situation that played into here with swimming and diving. You know, it sounds like the indoor pool didn't have the size that you needed, and it said at least the outdoor pool was no longer available. Can you say how that kind of played into it and what you were looking at as far as if you needed to? I know you had talked at one point about trying to get new facilities for them. I mean, how much is that going to be, and how did this kind of play in?
Right. And certainly that was a significant factor in our decision-making process. You know, when you look across the Big Ten at swimming facilities, virtually every place, the swimming pool that is used by the varsity swim program is a function of the university's intramural and student recreation services programs. And you know, that's the case here at Michigan State as well, you know, where the athletic department is responsible for buildings like Munn Arena and Spartan Stadium. We aren't responsible for the intramural facilities that runs through other units on campus, and so we have not historically had day to day responsibility for the indoor and outdoor pools at IM West. When the outdoor pool fell into disrepair, you know, really, let me take a step back. To compete in the Big Ten in a competition pool, you've got a 25-yard pool that's typically eight lanes. The Olympics compete in a 50-meter pool, and you know, most recruited athletes who want to train for the Olympics as their end goal are looking for a 50-meter pool in which to do that. You know, the nearest 50-meter pools to us, I believe, are to the west in Rockford and to the east in either Ypsilanti or Ann Arbor. And and so when you don't have we used to have a 50-meter pool at least half of the year. When that pool went out of service, with no repair or replacement in sight, it took that offline for the entire year, and that left us with the IM West indoor pool, which is a smaller than standard pool, and makes both competition and practice very hard. And really severely limit somebody that's training with the hope of being an Olympic caliber athlete. So when I became athletic director, one of my first priorities was to see what could be done. We had for a time worked on a plan, but with the pandemic, my best estimation is that any progress on the outdoor pool is some number of years off, and without the capability of having a 50-meter pool, you know, even anywhere in our community, you know, it creates just a huge challenge to recruit elite athletes.
For our next question, we'll go out to Lindsay Huddleston.
Thank you. Hello, Bill. With the inspiration that sports provides all, you know, so many people, how do you continue to still hope when you have to have this kind of message during these uncertain times?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of soul searching and racked our brains, there really is no good time to have a conversation like this, and certainly one could argue that now is worse than many given the challenges that we're facing. I think in so many cases with the pandemic, but my timing was based on once we had a firm decision and we decided that there really weren't other options, letting the student athletes know as quickly as possible so that they could make the best decisions about their futures, armed with information, as quickly as we could. I do think that that sport, and particularly college sport, is incredibly reaffirming for a community and brings great joy to so many people. And I think the ability to not have spectators in our football stadium, irregardless, I think that beginning Big Ten play this weekend in football will be part of that. And certainly our other sports add to that as well, both for the participants, their families, the university community, and our larger community. I do think we provide many opportunities for that, and it does sadden me that swimming and diving won't be one of those going forward.
All right, again, Bill Beekman, his press conference yesterday afternoon concerning Michigan State no longer sponsoring men's and women's swimming and diving. What is your reaction to that? I would love to hear from you guys. I don't normally even open up my email, but email to you all to weigh in, but you can do that as well. If you want to weigh in via email, just email me at almartin@wkar.org. And we'll get to your emails on Monday. If you want to vent about it, if you know any Michigan State men's and women's swimmers and divers, you want to share that perspective. Again, you can email me at almartin@wkar.org. You can call in, leave us a voicemail, let your voice be heard, and we'll roll in your voice message on Monday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. All right. So we now hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk Michigan State and Rutgers. What can we expect tomorrow at Spartan Stadium? No fans, going to be a little bit weird, but hey, Michigan State football returns to our lives. That and more, the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports trucks along. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we are less than 24 hours away. The Mel Tucker era, the Mel Tucker chapter, will begin at Spartan Stadium at 12:01 p.m. as Michigan State opens up the year against Rutgers. And, Rutgers is also, breaking in a quote-unquote new coach. This program has been the laughing stock of the Big Ten for a while now, right? Greg Schiano, though, was coming back for a second stint. He compiled a 68-67 record at Rutgers from 01 to 2011. He led the Scarlet Knights to 5 victories and 6 bowl games. They appeared in the AP Top 25. If you can even rewind, the clock back in your sporting mind and even think about this. It was so long ago, but in 06, 07, and 09, Rutgers did appear in the AP Top 25 polls. But Schiano, he did lead the Scarlet Knights to finish with winning records in 6 of his final 7 seasons there. So then he went and took a coaching job, a very short-lived stint with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but is now back at Rutgers, coaching college football. So, and then we all know about, Mark D'Antonio surprisingly retiring in February, going 7-6 last year. The winningest coach in Michigan State football history, the most decorated coach in Michigan State football history. And he decided to chuck up the deuces. There was a lot of things going on there. Mel Tucker, now comes from Colorado. And he's got limited head coaching experience, which is why, you know, I said at the top of the hour, we just don't know what to expect right now. And I think that the expectations are low. You know, I've said that, hey, Mel Tucker can go out here and lose. This won't happen. He'll find a way to win a few. And I said, it's the year of COVID. Why not? I'm going 5 wins, baby. Michigan State, 5 wins. Again, that's me speaking more with my heart than my head. And a why not attitude, because this is such a different year. You know, COVID cases are going to riddle the Big Ten, giving Michigan State a chance every single day, even against the big dogs, like a Penn State, like an Ohio State, like a Wisconsin. And Michigan State is going to have an opportunity to do something special here. We'll see. But again, that's my heart talking, not more so my head. but Tucker, again, he hasn't, you know, he's coming off of just 1 year as the head coach in college football, coaching Colorado. They finished with a 5-7 record in his lone season there. And his only other head coaching experience, that occurred, what, 9 years ago, when the Jacksonville Jaguars promoted him from defensive coordinator to interim head coach after firing Jack Del Rio, and Tucker led the Jags to a 2-3 record there. So Michigan State leads the all-time series at 8-3. For games played in East Lansing, Michigan State holds an advantage of 4-2 against Rutgers. MSU has won all 6 meetings since Rutgers said, hello, Big Ten. and what can we expect? You know, when Michigan State has the ball, I think that Rocky Lombardi is at least going to be the starter for the team. He completed 75 of 175 pass attempts for 3 touchdowns during those previous seasons. When, you know, Brian Lewerke was hurt and so on and so forth. I mentioned Theo Day on yesterday's show. He threw just 3 passes, completed 2 of those as a freshman, and Peyton Thorne redshirted last season without recording an offensive statistic. And I think, you know, depending on how this game goes, I think we will see more than one quarterback tomorrow. You know, either way, if Michigan State is rolling in this game against lowly Rutgers, I think Mel Tucker is going to rest Rocky and say, all right, well, let's see what Theo Day and Peyton Thorne can do. Let's get him some reps at least. This game is being dominated. This is the best case scenario right here. This game is being dominated by us. Let's give them some game time reps and see how they handle it. But on the flip side, if Michigan State is struggling and Rocky Lombardi is not having a great game, Mel Tucker is going to say, okay, let's take out Rocky. Let's try Jason. Let's try Theo Day and Peyton Thorne here and see what they can do. Either way, you're going to see more than one quarterback out there because Mel Tucker really wants to. He really wants to have a gauge on who exactly is the right guy right now because we don't know. Even though Rocky has the most experience, that will just get him the start in game one. When it comes to the running attack, Michigan State returns their top 2 running backs from 2019, Elijah Collins. He rushed the ball 222 times for 988 yards, just shy of that 1,000-yard marker for the year. 5 touchdowns for the team. He led in all 3 categories. When it comes to rushing attempts, yards, and touchdowns, Anthony Williams Jr., he carried the ball 38 times for 118 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, Michigan State lost a huge portion of its contributors in the passing attack. You know, what receivers do they have, right? And then you're losing, again, you know, Brian Lewerke. But you got sophomore Trey Mosley. He caught 21 passes for 216 yards in the TD. You know, throw in tight end Matt Dotson, 16 catches for 151 in the TD. But we just really don't know. There's so many question marks. And, you know, Mel Tucker not releasing a depth chart. There's just so many question marks right now for this squad. But Rutgers, you can score on Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers is one of the worst defensive teams in the nation. And
You know, it's not hard to put up points on them. It's just not. And looking at it, you know, when you look at the Scarlet Knights, you know, when they have the ball, that offense is just, you know, they are also kind of dealing with this QB dilemma. You know, of the three quarterbacks who took snaps in games for Rutgers last season, yes, three quarterbacks took reps. Two have come back. Johnny Langan, he appeared in 10 contests, 80 of 159 for 840 yards, four TDs, nine picks. And then you have Artur Sikowski. He only played in the Scarlet Knights' three September matchups, connecting on 44 of 68 pass attempts for a TD and two interceptions. Noah Vedral, he joined the competition after transferring from Nebraska, where he completed 34 of 52 passes for 418, no touchdowns or INTs. But Johnny Langan and Artur Sikowski, I'm hearing that those are the guys that, you know, you'll see one of those two starting. And then their rush production, they don't return a lot of their guys in the backfield. Isaiah Pacheco, he led the team in rush attempts, yards and touchdowns. Langan finished second in those three categories. And then you have Aaron Young as well. So, yeah. And then you look at Michigan State's defense. Looking at Michigan State's defense, and by the way, you know, at that Michigan State offensive line, you know, they have a lot of injuries there. And you look at that offensive line and you say, I just don't know there. You know, a lot of that is also depleted. And then the defense. Linebacker Antoine Simmons, strong safety Xavier Henderson, the only defenders remaining who finished among the team's top seven tacklers last year. That's it. Henderson and Simmons, that is it. Five of the top six in terms of tackles for loss are gone. In 2019, eight players combined for 12 interceptions, but only three have returned. Henderson picked off two passes. Corner Shakur Brown and defensive end Drew Beasley had one each. Linebackers Luke Fulton, Charles Willekes, they have been suspended after being charged with assault after being arrested in August. With that being said, because Rutgers are so bad, so bad, they may have a new coach, but my goodness. You know, Rutgers is 0-6 against Michigan State since joining the Big Ten. They have lost 21 straight conference games. 21 straight. And I'm not saying this is a game in which the Spartans just show up and win. No, there's a lot that still needs to be worked on for both teams. But Michigan State, they just have more talent on the field. And that means holding on to give Tucker a win in his debut. I am going Michigan State 23, Rutgers 14. That's my prediction. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on today's current sports, a brief look at the Big Ten as a whole, and a brief reflection Friday. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just a brief wide look at the Big Ten here. You know, you got Michigan playing Minnesota on Saturday evening. You know, can Jim Harbaugh, who has a lot of pressure on him, man. Jim Harbaugh, in the year of COVID, I'm curious, you know, how, because he already was on the hot seat last year. And Michigan fans are so irritated with him. You know, where are you at? Where are you? If he underperforms this season, is he done? And then the whole conversation about the extension for Jim Harbaugh, that's a whole other conversation. But for me, brief look here, the favorite, is Ohio State. As if it could be anybody else, right? I mean, start with the fact that the Buckeyes have the best quarterback in the league, maybe the best player in quarterback Justin Fields. Add in a team that really roughed up conference rivals week after week and looking to finish the deal after a tough college football playoff semifinal loss, and you've got the ideal team in the Big Ten right there on your hands. You know, now I understand J.K. Dobbins is now with the Baltimore Ravens. Fields gets the handoff to Oklahoma transfer Trey Sermon, who had over 2,000 yards in 3 years at OU, and also Master Teague. And gets to throw to Chris Olave, 849 yards, Garrett Wilson, 432 yards, and on defense, all-world defensive end Chase Young. He may be gone, but then you have corner Sean Wade, linebackers Peter Warner, and Baron Browning. They just, I mean, Ohio State has an embarrassment of riches, folks. They're going to be in the Big Ten championship game. We all know that. But the challenger, Penn State. No, Penn State, the Nittany Lions have more often not been a top 10 team in recent years. But, you know, they have some talent. They have some talent. You know, Ohio State has won 7 of the last 8 in this series against Penn State. But that doesn't tell the full story. Two of those wins came by a single point back in 2017 and 2018. Another game went to double overtime. And last year's 11-point win was the smallest in conference play for the Buckeyes. Penn State is very competitive. They are the challenger for Ohio State. It's not going to be a walk in the park for them. All right? So I'm going with Penn State to possibly give Ohio State a run this year. We all know Wisconsin leads the West. They're that team to come out the West. You know, Wisconsin has won the West more often than not lately. Watch out for Minnesota, though. Penn State, P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck is a very talented young coach and is changing things out in Minnesota. And I think Minnesota is going to beat Michigan tomorrow night. Sorry, Michigan fans. And the wild card for me in the Big Ten is Purdue. Now, I'm not saying that the Boilermakers will go from 4-8 to Big Ten West champions this year. But, you know, Purdue could be that team that decides the division race, I think. You know, they're really no stranger of just throwing off expectations and surprising some people. You know, the 49-20 romp of then number 2 Ohio State in 2018, did we forget that? That was one of the more shocking upsets in recent years. They had an injury-heavy 2019. The Boilermakers get Iowa and Nebraska at home and visits to top division contenders Wisconsin and Minnesota won't be easy, but they avoid Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan out the east. Don't be surprised if you see Purdue in the mix. All right, so that's my broad look at the Big Ten. We'll have a full look at the games on Monday, folks. It'll be an all Big Ten football special. And, of course, we will be leading off that conversation with what happens between Michigan State and Rutgers. Okay? Going to be a weird day at Spartan Stadium tomorrow. No fans. We'll be covering the game still virtually. Still so weird. So weird. And for me, a quick Reflection Friday, I just want to, you know, say that, you know, the student athletes at Michigan State who are members of the men's and women's swimming and diving teams, hey, keep your head up. Keep your head up. It's such a trying time. I know there were a lot of tears shed yesterday and you feel lost and confused, but I'm a firm believer in destiny and that everything happens for a reason. Things will get better. All right. All right, folks, that will do it for this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.